Well, for our message this afternoon, turn now to James and chapter 3, the New Testament book of James and chapter 3. Our message this afternoon will be the 10th and final message in the series on living wisely. We have been studying the book of Proverbs for the past 9 weeks. And James is sometimes called the Proverbs of the New Testament. And so we're going to finish our series on living wisely by studying what James has to say about godly wisdom. Listen now to the book of James, chapter 3, beginning to read in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen. Now, as I just mentioned, we have been studying the subject of living wisely. How ought Christians to live wisely in the world where we have been placed? And just for a few moments, let us recap and remember some of the things which we have already been taught from the book of Proverbs. We have been taught that living wisely involves a willingness to be instructed by God's word. Proverbs was written to give instruction. It was written to give guidance. And we need to have a willingness and an eagerness to be instructed by God's word. Living wisely begins with the fear of the Lord, meaning that in every area of one's life, it must be captured for the glory of God. Living in the fear of the Lord. Living wisely means that we must guard our hearts. The wise individual is the one who knows that their hearts are wicked and able to betray us to the enemy. And so we must guard our hearts and put sin to death. Living wisely means that we recognize there is a force within our own heart which is pulling in the wrong direction and which we must put to death. Living wisely means that we trust in the Lord instead of ourselves. That means we live our life under His authority. We view His commandments as good, not as burdensome. Living wisely in terms of interacting with our neighbor means that we are guarded towards our neighbor, but also that we are generous toward our neighbor. We are not naive. We are supposed to consider with whom we are dealing, but at the same time, we are also supposed to be generous toward others. And then finally, in the past couple of weeks, we have seen that living wisely means that we use the world, but we live on Christ. That everything in this world was created and designed by God to bring Him glory, and so we are able to use it, but we can never live on it. We must live on the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And now here in James chapter 3, we've come to our conclusion, and we find something quite interesting in James 3 and verse 13. He asks a question. Who is wise and understanding among you? In other words, James does not assume that all of his hearers are wise. James does not assume that simply because someone professes to be a Christian, that they are actually living wisely as they ought to live. James asks the question, is there anyone there who is wise and understanding among you? And it's meant to be a self-examination, not looking at others, but looking at ourselves and asking, if we have been living wisely. He says in verses 14 and 15 that there is such a thing as false wisdom. This wisdom, he says, is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. It is false wisdom. And so as we have been studying the book of Proverbs, perhaps there have been areas of your life, areas of your thinking, where you realize that you have not been living as wisely as you ought to live, where your wisdom has not been the wisdom that comes from above. And James says, in order to evaluate yourself, you need to look at the works which are being done in your life. You see that in verse 13. He says, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. That means when someone is living biblically wisely, you can see it in their life. And contrarywise, in verse 16, he says, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, then you're going to find the fruits of disorder and every vile practice. So wisdom, biblical wisdom, cannot exist alongside of unmortified sins. That means sins that are not actively being put to death. Obviously, no Christian is perfect. Obviously, every Christian is working on putting sin to death. But biblical wisdom cannot dwell next to sin that is allowed to operate in someone's life and bear fruit in that person's life. If there is disorder, if there are vile practices, then that person is living unwisely, not according to the Scripture. And in verse 18, we find that when someone lives wisely, they will reap a harvest, and that harvest will be a harvest of righteousness. And so as we come to this text today, it is a text of self-examination to ask ourselves, what is the harvest which I reap? In my interactions with this world and with others, am I reaping a harvest of righteousness, or am I reaping a harvest of disorder and vile practice? Well, we want to focus almost exclusively now on verse 17. And we want to make two observations and then finish with one very simple application. And I trust that as we look at these observations in verse 17, that you will be encouraged. That you will be encouraged to live a life of godly wisdom. Because as we've studied from Proverbs, it is very difficult. But we find two encouraging things here in James 3:17. And the first is this, that biblical wisdom, a life of living wisely, is a gift from heaven. It's a gift from heaven. A wise life is a life that has been given to us by a kind and loving Father. And you see that in verse 17, the wisdom from above. The wisdom from above. It is not natural to our human hearts. We cannot, in and of ourselves, work up a wise life. It is a gift that is given to us by a loving Heavenly Father. Our hearts can only produce verses 14 through 16. Our hearts, when left to themselves, will only produce disorder and vile practices. But when a person comes to the Heavenly Father and asks Him for the gift of wisdom, He will give that gift of wisdom. And you see that in chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. If you have not been living a wise life, if you have seen many areas in your life that do not match up with the wisdom of the Scripture, then you need to remember that you have a Heavenly Father who will give wisdom as a free gift to all who come and ask Him. Now, if you look in verse 17, you'll see a number of characteristics that describe this wisdom. James says the wisdom is pure. That is, it is unmixed. That is to say, all of the person's heart motivations and heart desires are for one great purpose, and that is, of course, the glory and honor of the Lord. A person who is living wisely is someone who realizes what they have been created to accomplish. They've been created to reflect the glory of God. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, to sail against wind and tide. And you watch somebody in their life, and they're sailing against wind and tide, and they're not making any headway. And the wise person is the person who realizes how God has set the wind and the tide in this world, and they sail with it instead of against it. And they realize God has created me not to live here on earth for my happiness and for my emotional well-being, but to bring Him honor and glory. And so they set their life's course in a pure direction. That means it's not divided. They're not first going one way and then a different way. But they keep that direction their whole life. That's a pure life. That is a wise life. James says that wisdom from above is peaceable. That is, someone who lives wisely is able to live next to someone without constant friction. When he says it's peaceable, he means that biblical wisdom, the wisdom from above, is like oil in a car engine. You look at these car engines, they have 325 horsepower under the bonnet. They can fly down the road at top speed. But if you remove oil from that engine, it doesn't matter how much horsepower the engine has, it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to seize up. It's going to burn itself out. And we live in a day and age where we are constantly being given new methods and new ways to organize the church. Well, if you run your church like this, if you organize your church like that, then everything will run smoothly. But none of it works without peaceableness. None of it works without the oil in the engine keeping away the friction between the members. The church will only run smoothly, not by mere organization, but by heavenly wisdom, which is peaceable, which is able to interact with other people without unnecessary friction. He says there that the wisdom is gentle. It's gentle. That means that you only need to apply light pressure before you get a response. That's what gentleness is. You picture something that's been outside, perhaps a faucet, and it's very, very rusty. And you try to turn the faucet, and it just gives off this awful squeaking and squealing because it's so rusty. And you have to apply all of this force just to get it to move, just a little bit. And so then you go in your toolbox and you bring back out a rubber-headed mallet, and then you back up and you sort of whack at the thing to try to get it to turn, and you hit it again and you hit it again because you're trying to turn the faucet. It's been rusted shut. There's no oil. There's no oil there. It's not running smoothly. And some people treat relationships like that. If it's a rusty relationship and it's not turning how they want it, they get out the hammer of guilt and they just guilt trip the person into doing what they want. Or they just hit him with manipulation, or they hit him with threats. If you don't do this, then this. And they try to make the relationship work, and there's this awful squealing sound that comes out of the relationship because it's just rusted. There's no peace. There's no oil in the relationship. And they're just wrenching at the thing to turn it. But you watch somebody who has a well-oiled faucet, and they just go like this. They don't sweat. They're not straining. They just turn, and out comes the water. And you watch a peaceable relationship, you don't have to apply very much pressure to a peaceable relationship. You just ask kindly, gently, and immediately the person provides because there's peace among you. You don't need to have strong-arm tactics to get what you want. You can be gentle with other people. You don't need to apply a lot of pressure. And that's what James is saying. He says that it is open to reason. Or another way to translate this that the King James has is willing to yield. That means that a biblically wise person realizes that they do not have a corner on the market of truth. That their mind is seeking to understand the truth in all of its complexity, but they haven't yet arrived. And they realize that not everything that is true needs to be fought over and died on. Not every hill needs to be a place where you plant your flag and die. Biblical wisdom is able to yield. It's able to listen to reason. If someone never yields, if someone can never listen to clear reasoning from someone else, then something is seriously wrong. James says that biblical wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. And the key word here that I want you to focus on is full of mercy and good fruits. In other words, biblical wisdom doesn't survive on other people. It's already full in and of itself, and it has something to give someone else. It has mercy to give someone else. It has good fruit to refresh other people. It's not looking for other people to refresh them. That's biblical wisdom, because they have understood that their life is hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has provided for their every need, and so they are able to be full towards other people, not empty. And then lastly, he says it is impartial and sincere. And that means that a person who is living wisely is not driven by their own personal bias. They are not driven by a personal bias, whether circumstantial or emotional. In other words, a biblically wise person comes into a situation, and what comes out of their mouth is not dictated to by their circumstances or their emotions. They are impartial and sincere. They can come to a situation and judge correctly because they are not so tied to the circumstances that they have to have a competing self-interest. But they can come as an unbiased individual. Now, I hope that some of you sitting here, perhaps all of you sitting here, are thinking to yourselves, this sounds like fantasy land. Where in the world did you get off that you think this is the kind of life that we have? Because we don't. I mean, fantasy land, not applying pressure to somebody to get them to do what you want, just gentleness, peaceableness, purity, sounds like a different planet. Well, it is a different planet. That's why James says it comes from above. It comes from above. That's why it's a gift from your Heavenly Father, because it's not native. It's not native in your heart or mine. It is not native in the hearts of unconverted individuals. Wouldn't it be wonderful to walk into a home that was pure, peaceable, gentle, where every member of the family was open to reason, where every member of the family was full of mercy and good fruits, every member of the family was impartial and sincere? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing to walk into a church like that? Every single member in the church, impartial and sincere, full of mercy and good fruits, open to reason, willing to yield. That would be incredible. But you see, that's exactly what God promises, that comes from above. Now the question is, have you ever prayed for this? Have you ever asked God that this would be true in your life and the lives of those whom you love? Do we as a congregation ever pray that this kind of wisdom would dominate in our congregation? People want a loving family. They want a peaceable family. They want a pure church. They want a church full of mercy. But James is saying this comes from above. You need to pray. You need to ask your Heavenly Father. Well, then secondly, not only is this promised to all who pray and who ask, and it's a wonderful gift, but then secondly, biblical wisdom is blessed by God. Biblical wisdom comes from above, and biblical wisdom is blessed by God. I wonder how many of you, I tried to make it as obvious as possible, but I wonder how many of you put together the fact that half of the Beatitudes are also found in James chapter 3 and verse 17. Blessed are the pure in heart. James says wisdom is pure. Blessed are the peacemakers. James says wisdom is peaceable. Blessed are the meek. James says wisdom is gentle and open to reason. The Beatitudes say blessed are the merciful. And James says that wisdom is full of mercy. James is describing the way to a blessed life. If you want to be blessed by God, in the true sense of the term, if you want to be happy in the true sense of the term, then this is the life that you need to live, this biblically wise life. Do you want a greater view of God and who he is in all of his majesty, all of his holiness, justice, goodness, truth, and mercy. Do you want that? Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's a promise that is given to people that are biblically wise. It's a wonderful incentive to live a wise life. Do you want assurance of salvation? Some of you struggle perhaps with assurance of salvation, and you wrestle with this. But Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. If you struggle with assurance, living a wise life will be blessed with assurance. Do you struggle to let go of the world and cling to your heavenly inheritance? Well, Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's the wise life that is blessed in that way. Do you want to receive mercy? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Those are our two observations, that biblical wisdom comes from above, and biblical wisdom is greatly, greatly blessed by the Lord. And there are specific promises that are attached to this kind of wise living, and they're found in the Beatitudes. And so then the very simple application is pray. Do you pray for this kind of wise life? Do you pray for yourself? Do you pray for others? Some of you might not know everyone else in the congregation as well as you wish you did. You're still working on building friendships. You're still working on getting to know others. You don't always know what's going on in someone's life, but you want to pray for them, and you don't know how to pray for them. You can get out James chapter 3 and verse 17, and you can say, Lord, please give that person biblical wisdom. Please give them purity. Please give them peaceableness. Please give them gentleness. You can pray these things. And then you can pray that the Lord will bless them for having that wisdom. You look at your family members, and sometimes you wish you knew how to help, but you don't. You feel as though your family members should be the ones that you know the best, but you struggle to have a good relationship with them. And sometimes with family members, they're involved in things, and we don't really know what it looks like for the Lord to bless them. It's hard to know sometimes, but you can pray these fruits of biblical wisdom. You can say, Lord, they're very sick, they're very ill, their body is breaking. Would you please give them biblical wisdom from above, pure and peaceable wisdom, so that they can see God, so that they'll be called sons of God. That's what I want for them. Is this how you pray for others? Biblical wisdom is a wonderful gift, and it comes from above, and it is much blessed by God. So as you consider in your own life how to live wisely, have you prayed and asked God? James says you ask, or James says you have not because you ask not. The Heavenly Father is very ready to give you this wonderful blessing, and we need to go to Him and ask for it. Let's pray. Our great God and Father, we bow our hearts before you this afternoon, and we do ask for biblical wisdom. We pray that we would live wisely. We confess that our life personally is far from what it ought to be. Our family life, our church life is far from what it ought to be. But we take comfort in the fact that wisdom comes from above. So we ask that you give us biblical wisdom, that we learn how to live wisely with one another. We pray that we would be pure in heart so that we may see God. Make us peacemakers so that we will be able to have a harvest of righteousness and be called sons of God. And we pray this because we love the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a perfectly wise life and was perfectly blessed by you. We ask in His name. Amen.